Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
The Ace is ready to celebrate. So are these fans.
Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series! 5-1 the final tonight!
You're listening to the Pesky Report, a podcast dedicated to the Boston Red Sox by Red Sox fans.
Report is happy to announce that we will be sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. High and Happy Catering creates gourmet meals for small or large events with a twist. All of their meals are cannabis infused. If you are looking to have a real happy meal, call them at 413-785-8999 or search for them on Instagram at High and Happy Catering. You'll be happy you did.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report, presented by Belly Up Sports. My name is Brad Schindler. With me today, I have my co-host Brady at Hogdale. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
Indubitably.
Yep.
I like how Sapphire just like fucking joined in on that too.
She didn't let her enter her presence.
She was just like flopping her ears around, like. All right, well, we're on episode number 63 of the season, guys. Holy shit. I'm shocked that we made it past, like, episode 20, honestly. I don't think either one of you were still here, or were here, episode 20.
No, I definitely was not. I'm pretty sure I should have, like, round episode 30? Right around there? Somewhere?
Brady, you might have been around then, because you were, like, a guest.
Yeah, it was
like, once in a while, you would show up as a guest, and you would come in and start chatting.
And then you started crushing on me, so I get it.
I crushed on you. Now I just hate you.
That's normal. That's like if that's not unique to you at all, Brad.
It is what it is. So we had an episode last night. Had Isaac and Ed on. Wonderful episode. That episode was about the series with the New York Mets. We typically do an episode after every series. Well, obviously, another series didn't happen between last night and today, as it's like, oh, hey, it's you see what time it is?
4:20.
It's 4:20.
It's 3:20 where I'm at. So
nobody cares where you're at. You fuck. Your time doesn't matter. Not yet.
Potato time. What the?
The East Coast elites come down on the Midwestern middleman yet again.
SMH. Gotta get some High and Happy Catering food sometime soon, so we can celebrate some 420. Until then, I'll just.
And you're wrong. The Red Sox have played a series. The Red Sox versus Boomers, who are upset that they're wearing the yellow jerseys.
Oh, so, my fucking Christ! I'm so upset. I'm so fucking happy. Like, let's just talk about this for a minute. All right.
About people whining on the internet. Holy shit. I love that.
I have my fucking yellow Sox jersey. I have the yellow Sox blue hat and everything. Fuck you people. Honestly, like
the jerseys are sick. One.
And they are. I don't understand how people can. I understand people don't like the color scheme or whatever and don't think they should be wearing them sometimes or whatever. But I mean, Isaac mentioned it last night in the episode. He's like, you don't fuck with something that's working. There's a lot of superstition when it comes to baseball. There's people that don't change their fucking jock strap. There's people that don't change their fucking socks. You know, like if they want to wear fucking yellow jerseys and be known as the fucking yellow Sox, who gives a fuck? As long as they're fucking winning.
You want to know what's going to make people even more mad? If this winning streak does end up continuing till the end of the season, they can wear them in the playoffs.
Yeah, Bradford actually posted about that.
Bradford confirmed it.
He's so, like, really, that's where I got into like my boomer. Like, I called someone a boomer. I don't understand how this happened, but I called someone a boomer because they said that they fucking hate the jerseys or whatnot. And someone was like, well, do you, after I said boomer, he's like, oh, do you make fun of people for their sex and their race? And I'm like, where did you come up with any of that?
Dude, I love false. People just want to be victims so bad. The false
equivalencies. What a boomer.
It's ageism.
I'm really glad that my older ass now doesn't really give a shit. Like, that makes me feel better. That I'm just kind of like, look, do I like them? Nope. But do I like the Sox are winning? Yep. So wear them, boys.
Keep here's my fucking thing. I forgot what the person exactly said, word verbatim. Word for word, verbatim, whatever. They were like, oh, do you just not like people listening to your podcast or following you that are not over the age of 30? I'm like, I'm sorry. Brady, how old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay, I'm 38. So if you're over the age of 30, I don't give a fuck. If you're under the age of 30, I don't give a fuck. I don't think any of us give a fuck how old you are.
No. To me, this is like an extension of like, because I've heard more than a few people complain like, wow, the Red Sox, they wear their alternates way too much. They don't wear the home whites and the road grays enough. First off, the road grays suck. I prefer they wear the blues all the time.
Yep.
Second, yeah, it'd be nice if they wore the home whites a bit more, but the home reds are sick too. Come on. Brad, I swear to God, if you go defending the road grays, you need to stop. You need to evaluate yourself in the mirror.
He's gonna.
No, I'm not defending the fucking road grays. Is it like sad that I don't fucking care what color their jerseys are?
Not really, because like
I honestly like they can wear fucking black jerseys for all I give a fuck.
Those would be sick.
Those sound great.
Black and
you know red? What? That'd you know what? Sick. I can't wait. What about like it gets cold in October? They're wearing the jerseys. But then they have to wear like the red jackets because that's all they have, and they're gonna look like a fucking hot dog, little ketchup and mustard going down. Like that's gonna be cool because then it's like we don't give a fuck if we match. Like
now they're gonna wear their yellow hoodies. That's what it is. I want one of those hoodies so bad.
Same here. But
I like if it didn't. Now didn't they a couple years ago have road grays but with more like blue lettering? Am I remember now that might
yes.
be like
yeah they did
like. Those were really cool. Those I thought were like
things like nice. The grays are like it's such like a because so many teams have like just the road grays. I'm like it's just so boring. Like I'm bored looking at you.
We're not living in 1970s, 1980s. Like let's throw a little scheme up in here. Let's
like the road blues are such good jerseys. Like let's just so
let's
nice
do some let's deal with a little fucking chaos here. You know.
I want to get that the City Connect hat. I missed the boat on it, so I'll try to get one on, like eBay or something. But
our old co-host Zach, he ended up kind of making me get one. He posted it up in our group chat and whatnot, and he was like, "Hey, these are for sale." And as soon as the City Connect jerseys were available, I believe him and I were the first ones in the group that actually bought one. And I want the socks.
Yeah, the socks. Yeah,
you really should just go full uni. You know what I mean? Like cleats, socks, pants. Just fucking do it.
Things. It's just like, just find something better to complain about other than like they're wearing yellow and baby blue jerseys.
They look like the UCLA Bruins. It's like
they won seven in a row. That's that fucking too. Fire. That's yeah. all you need to fucking worry about. Like
they
base about.
The color scheme off the marathon. It's cool.
Yeah. They've actually worn, they've won eight games out of 10 games while wearing these jerseys.
That's good. I'll take
800
that.
Winning percentage. Pretty good.
One thing that I fucking find hilarious, though, is that Chris Sale has said that he actually likes these jerseys.
Listen, if Chris Sale
this dude, them, this dude them. Fucking took scissors to his jerseys in fucking Chicago, and he's just like, yeah, I love these. Like, I'm not going to lie. They're fucking hideous, but I love them. I honestly thought that this... Listen, when I found out that Chris Sale was going to wear one of these, I was like, someone needs to hide these fucking scissors. Like, wherever the fucking scissors are, you got to hide them. And then, like, he got a hold of scissors and he cut up his fucking hoodie.
Fire. Well, that's what happens when you want the fuck off a team. You do shit like that. And then when you're happy where you are, you're like, oh, these fucking horrifically ugly yellow fucking jerseys. Dope. I want to wear it. Right? And
I mean, like, Chris Sale, like, unironically, in his post-game press conferences, wears a t-shirt of that dude with the
daddy long neck.
Yeah, daddy long neck. The only man that gives off, like, you know,
makes him seem like big or whatever. Yeah. Oh yeah, my God. That was fucking funny. I think when was that? He saw that when he was with Worcester, he was wearing the daddy long neck shirt. And everybody was like, well, who the fuck is this? And he's like, yeah, this is Daddy Long Neck. And it's like, who? He didn't even know he fucking existed.
He's got a really good, like, hockey playoff beard going, though, which I think is great.
I want him to fucking shave it, dude.
What? Wait, whoa. See, now you're okay, boomer. All right.
You know why?
Yankees traditionalist.
You're telling me here I have a fucking full beard and you're calling me a fucking boomer. Like, well, shut the fuck up. No.
Why would he
looks like the fucking lion from The Wizard of Oz.
I like his little beard. I think he looks better without it, but I don't
mind. He's like a malnourished lion. You know what I mean? Like,
next time you look at fucking Chris Sale, seriously, like, I'm not even joking. Like, look at him and then, like, picture the fucking cowardly lion. I'm not saying he's a coward. I'm just saying, like, he's got that fucking... Just the way that the beard is, it's like, no, it's not doing it for me, you know?
That's smart, though, because if you're like, oh, shit, he's like the Cowardly Lion, and then he throws, like, a slider that's so fucking sick, you swing it, it misses, then it hits you, and then you got to go back to the dugout. Like, I just swung at a ball that hit me. Damn.
That was fucking hilarious.
That was awesome. Yeah.
That was absolutely – I'm glad – I know that he came back. He just came back from Tommy John surgery. Then he had COVID and, you know, all that stuff. And we don't need to go into the whole COVID situation because we all know how we feel about that bullshit with the asymptomatic and him having COVID two times. But it's kind of worrying on me that he's like fluctuating with his velo. Like his outing before he played the Orioles, he only had one strikeout.
Yeah.
He's still getting better results than he was prior to getting Tommy John. So, you know, he's not 100%, you know, going into the postseason in terms of not health wise per se, but like, he's not really like back, right?
Right. His velo is usually around it's usually like averaging like 96, 97.
Right. But he never got to build up like, you know, like we all kind of were hoping that by now it might be like almost like mid-May for him in terms of starts. But when he kind of got ramped up, then he got shut down. Now he's got to ramp up again. So, like, he's definitely a work in progress. But
like when he first came up with COVID, like he was like 91 to 93 on his fastball. Now he tops out at like 97. He's throwing around 95. So you can tell there is like some improvement. And it's like Brady said, I think he just needs to get ramped up some more.
When those postseason juices are flowing, I think he'll be sitting, you know, 95, 96. I doubt he can go more than five plus innings. That's probably it.
I think he's only gone six innings once this year.
That's why Hauk to the pen is so important, because you go five innings of Sale coming from the left, and then you're like, now I'm all fucked up. Now he's coming from the right. That's a nice piggyback. Sign me up for that shit.
This bullpen is so sick. Now that like it's off COVID, like and all the pieces are back together.
I love Hansel Robles.
Right?
Yeah, I like Hansel Robles too. And the one thing I do not like about Hansel Robles, what is it, Brady?
You hate his song because the Undertaker. So you can't get past that.
Right, you need to stop crying, all right?
It's cool that
he uses the song.
It is not cool that he uses the song.
He's had fucking, in the last nine appearances, like nine innings, he hasn't allowed a run. He's allowed.
I don't give a fuck how many runs he hasn't allowed. He could use fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin's fucking theme song. He does not have any right to be using The Undertaker's theme song.
I need someone to use Hulk Hogan's theme song.
I'm okay with that. Which version of Hulk Hogan's theme song? Like
the real American?
I am an All-American or whatever it is.
I love that fucking song.
I am a real American.
That would be Chris Sale.
I think you can see him. Right of every man.
Dude, I love that fucking song.
I want someone coming out to the flow. Ultimate Warrior.
See, now we're all dating ourselves.
Motherfucker, I watched wrestling since I was like 4 years old. I can
same here. Me and my great grandpa watch it together.
I loved wrestling. I still watch it to this day. It's unfortunate I don't have TNT so I can watch fucking AEW.
Yeah, I've been watching AEW lately. CM Punk's back, dude. Love it.
He just introduced Living Color at one of the festivals.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're fucking old, man.
Yeah, Living Color's been around for a while.
The band Living Color?
Yeah.
That's in my hometown. One of the guys owns a bakery.
From really?
Living Color. Yep.
That's awesome.
Which guy? Tell me his name.
I got to remember, but I think it's the lead singer, but I could totally be wrong. But it's like a cool high-end kind of cafe, bakery kind of thing. Haven't gone, but I want to check it out.
Dude, Cult of Personality is one of my favorite songs.
That would be a great song to come out to.
Amazing song to come out to.
Yeah.
It would be if it wasn't CM Punk's song.
Yeah, I know. He's fucking is a genius for coming out to that song.
Maybe you should just send like tweet at Hansa Robles some ideas. You know what I mean?
It'd be like, use any other song but The Undertaker, because
if he just randomly came out to Kane's one night, that'd be amazing.
I would be fucking fine with that.
Boom. $1 million
fucking
man.
Fire.
Ted the fire and like the weird guitars.
What
the
money? The $1 million man? Come on, dude.
Come on, Hansa.
That would be hilarious. Somebody needs to come out to the $1 million man,
yep, and he would be like.
Money.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a price.
Yeah. So good. It would so be like the batter would be like, did he just fucking play that shit?
Dude, like after Raffy secures his bag, that should be the first song he walks out to, like when he's when he's at that bat.
I highly doubt Raffy even knows who fucking Ted DiBiase is. He's younger than all of us to get.
Someone should tell him to do it, though, because that would be fucking hilarious. Secure the bag, come out to the Ted DiBiase theme.
Someone come out as the fucking Jake the Snake Roberts.
Anyway.
What a awesome.
The Pesky Report, dude. Noted wrestling podcast.
Yeah, we were originally a Boston Red Sox podcast. We are now talking about the 1980s fucking WWF.
The first 62 episodes of the Pesky Report was merely a mirage for the next 62, which is all wrestling themed.
Hey, we're going to have an off season soon, so we might as well have something to talk about, right?
Right.
Let's talk about some wrestling and whatever. What was your all-time favorite wrestler?
Oh my God.
No, I'm serious. Who was your all-time? I'm dead serious. Who was your all-time favorite wrestler?
Well, in my era growing up, I fucking love CM Punk so much, dude. I love CM Brady? Punk.
I loved the tag team, the British Bulldogs. They were fucking amazing. But Brutus the Barber Beefcake,
you totally would.
Dude, he had the barber shop. No, because I like that. I like when they had those little stage things like set up. And, like, every time it was going to end up.
When Shawn Michaels fucking threw Marty
Jannetty. Shawn Michaels had, like, the most iconic heel turn of all time in that.
Yes. Shot. It would just turn into utter chaos.
That's why I'm talking about
Roddy Piper fucking smashing a coconut over Jimmy.
Roddy Piper was fucking great, too, man. He really was.
Dude, I fucking love Shawn Michaels.
My two all-time favorite wrestlers, and one of them was absolutely horrific. The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
He was terrible as a wrestler, but
no, he could not wrestle.
He had that body and the fucking, I remember watching him the day before he died. And I was just like, I had goosebumps just because like even though he had that like paper mask over his face and whatnot, and he was saying what he said and like being like, that's the last thing he fucking said in public, you know, but, Ultimate Warrior, growing up in Stone Cold Steve Austin, when I was 16, my father got me a birthday cake with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I think it said something like, happy 16th, you son of a bitch, or some shit like that.
That's awesome.
That's great.
I fucking love it.
Steve Austin, honestly. He was fucking awesome.
He really is.
Yeah. All right, let's like talk about some fucking baseball. we spent enough time talking about wrestling for a little bit. So this episode, I wanted to talk about like the past, present, and hope, and what the future looks like of the Boston Red Sox. So the graphic for this show has Xander Bogaerts and Marcel Meyers. Now, a lot of us on this show actually kind of like want Xander to sign an extension as long as he's willing to switch positions.
Yeah.
So basically what we're suggesting is Xander to third base. Some people are suggesting to second base. We also got to remember we got Raffy at third. So if Xander goes to third, Raffy most likely to DH. If he goes to second, that ends up blocking Jeter and possibly York. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these things and what we should expect. So Xander started back out in 2013. Fun fact, Xander Bogaerts ended up coming up to Boston. That was one of the reasons why the Boston Red Sox traded Jose Iglesias. I believe they traded him to the Detroit Tigers. Right. So yep. they ended up trading him to the Detroit Tigers. Fast forward to 2021, Jose Iglesias gets DFA'd by the Los Angeles Angels. The Boston Red Sox sign him again to take over at shortstop simply because Xander was out with COVID. Xander comes back from COVID, and guess who boots Jose Iglesias from shortstop again? None other than Xander Bogaerts. Jose Iglesias is now the second baseman for the Boston Red Sox, but unfortunately, he is not part of the – he cannot play in the postseason. So back to Xander. Xander has been our shortstop since 2013. I'm not even sure if he's played any other position outside of shortstop. Hold on. He did play third base for like a couple months in 2013. He didn't really play it in 2014, did he?
No, 2013, he was the third baseman, him and Will Middlebrooks in the postseason, but it was mostly Xander at third base.
Right, except for the game where Middlebrooks had his feet up. What was that, obstruction?
Yeah, that was some weird ass.
Who had a shorter time, Stephen Drew?
Yes,
yeah, Stephen Drew was. And then Stephen Drew was a free agent for the next year, and Xander was having problems. And up until I believe they were able to like sign him in like June,
yeah,
or some shit, May or June or some shit like that. And then they fucking traded him to the New York Yankees in the middle of a fucking series too. So like he only grabbed his bags and walked across the fucking the field, and he was like, "All right. Well, I'm a Yankee now, which this sucks." You know, like I couldn't imagine that being a great feeling.
Shows how highly they thought of Stephen Drew.
I mean, that was the best offseason, 2012 going to 2013 for Ben Charrington. I mean, he hit on everyone having a bounce back season, like Napoli, Gomes, Victorino, Peavy.
Peavy was a pickup. At the trade deadline.
Napoli was a free agent signing. So was Victorino. So was Stephen
Gomes. And so was it Gomes.
Yeah, so was Gomes. Saltalamacchia was a free agent. He was playing minor league baseball. And Ben Charrington was like, nope, fuck it. We're just going to make you a starting catcher again.
It was him and David Ross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Napoli was so good for them.
Ryan Dempster was good for pretty much half the season. And then he kind of faded off.
Hold on. Ryan Dempster, no matter how bad he played for the Red Sox, he will always have a place in my heart after throwing at A-Rod four times and missing.
I was at that fucking game.
Really?
I was at that game sitting.
Did A-Rod fucking take him deep later on?
Yes. It was the first fucking inning. I was sitting in Stephen King's box seat, true story, because someone I know worked for him. Hooked me up, my parents and my wife were sitting there, and he kept throwing my followers like, hit him, kill him, and everyone's going nuts. And then A-Rod hit the bejesus out of that baseball.
I forgot, yeah, Stephen King's a Sox fan. He's from Maine, obviously.
Yep, yep, those were some sick
it
seats.
It adds up.
But it did, but Dempster kept throwing at him. He just kept fucking missing. He just kept missing him. Yep. So that was then. But what
I love 13 team so much.
That, well, fucking, we were talking about this just recently. Jake Peavy ended up buying a fucking a duck boat.
That's what you do when you win a World Series and you have a lot of money. You're like, sweet.
Like, his best days were with the Padres, but he's a Red Sox legend in my mind.
His best days were as a Padre because he won a World Series. Didn't he win a World Series with the Giants too?
Giants?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, he won a World Series with the Giants, and he bought one of their trolleys.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that. That must have been a while ago.
I think it was – when was it? Was it the year before or the year after?
I believe it was the year after.
I forgot that he was on that 14 Giants team.
That's how the Red Sox got Heath Hembree and I can't remember the other guy. They got PV – Hembree's originally from the Giants in PV move.
I completely forgot he was on that 14 Giants team. Mm-hmm. It escaped my brain.
Yeah, Jake Peavy gives a lot of Garrett Richards vibes.
Right. Oof. A lot better in his prime than Garrett Richards was, though.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Yep.
I don't know. I'm a big Garrett Richards guy.
Jake Peavy was nasty, though.
I liked Peavy when he played for the Red Sox. I didn't know who the fuck he was before he was a Red Sox. Just like I had no fucking... I didn't know who Johnny Gomes was. I didn't know that was his name, though. I remember Johnny Gomes from the time where he went to go slug at fucking Coco Crisp.
Coco, that's a name I've heard in a long time.
I loved Coco.
Same.
He played forever on the A's, like after he left the Red Sox.
And what's the other guy? Jed Lowry?
Yeah.
I remember when he played for the Red Sox, and I feel like he's been on the fucking A's for like 20 years.
Do you remember when like Victor Martinez and Adrian Beltre were a Red Sox for like 1 year?
Wasn't Martinez specifically like Wakefield's catcher or something?
No, Victor came in as first base DH, sometimes catch. But what he was very similar to Kyle Schwarber. It wasn't a need, but they were like, that dude can fucking hit. So we're going to put him somewhere. Where? We don't really fucking know, but that fucker can hit. And
after he left the Red Sox, he went to go on to those stacked Detroit teams. He was like another one of their power hitters on that ridiculous Detroit team that somehow didn't win a World Series.
That is fucking mind-boggling to me. I mean, you had fucking Anibal Sanchez. You had Doug Fister. You had Rick Porcello. You had Max Scherzer. You had
Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander. And you didn't fucking win a World Series.
I feel so bad, especially because their owner at the time like was a really nice guy, Mike Yelich, like a notoriously nice guy.
Fister,
giving back to the Detroit.
I barely knew her.
I didn't hear you.
Fister, I barely knew her.
Shut the fuck up.
That's all I could think of. The truth is, that's where
we were actually talking about that last night.
You know what though? That was the Rousey can't build a bullpen. That's where that stemmed from, right? Because
yeah.
You didn't need one. Yeah, you really didn't.
But
I mean, you had Scherzer and Verlander. You were getting at least six, maybe even seven innings each game.
Shit, that was prime Verlander. You're getting seven minimum. Like,
yeah, but you remember 2008? Big Poppy, was it 8 or 13 when Big Poppy took Joaquin Benoit?
13.
That's the problem is you can have really good starting pitching, but in the end.
But Benoit was also a really good relief pitcher. He just threw shit. He just threw a shitty pitch to
the thing Poppy. is like even with those
You're talking about the fucking that grand slam when Torrey Hunter went over the wall, right?
Yeah.
That was not a good pitch.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know,
and also Poppy hit like 700 in that fucking World Series too.
I know, but this is where I go on the whole like here I'm an old guy saying you got to have relievers with defined roles in that spot. You can't just go like this. I'm going to use you because I think it's your turn to pitch.
Great numbers against Poppy.
Right. Also, but the problem is you got to be able to like hold the fact that the whole season's on the line, and you're cool. You want that spot. You don't want to be Tom Gordon fucking puking in the bullpen before you come out to serve one up to Big Bobby. That's not good.
Right. Like, but who are you going to go to, though? Like, you have a guy who's struck out Poppy like 10 out of 13 times. I'm not saying that that was the case, but say he strikes him out 10 out of 13 times. You're not going to go to that guy when Poppy comes? Because this wasn't back. This was before they had the three batter minimum. You could throw this dude out for one fucking batter.
But Benoit is a righty, so you a good lefty right. on Poppy. That's the problem. You got to build a bullpen. You got to know you're facing Big Poppy and go like, oh.
Benoit had Poppy's number, though.
But you got to be
able to know. He had one bad pitch, and you're like saying that that was a bad idea. It was not a bad idea for them to throw Benoit out there.
Also, the thing is like, you do not need a bullpen to win a World Series. Look at the 18 Red Sox. That bullpen was not good in the postseason. It wasn't.
You're right. Now, that to me right there, for anyone, for all the Red Sox, like, oh, Cora sucks. Shut up. The truth is, what he did that postseason was be like, we don't have a good bullpen.
I still want to go back to the Benoit thing.
Well, hold on. Rick Porcello, you're going to pitch at relief. Nathan Eovaldi, you're going to pitch at relief. He fucking made a bullpen that didn't exist because he was fucking smart.
The thing is, like, the 13 Tigers, they had so much, like, quality starting pitching. They should have put one of those guys in the pen. Why right? didn't they?
Because they didn't have Cora as a manager.
True.
How did you spell his name? Joaquin?
No, it's his first name. It was Joaquin Benoit, B-E-N-O-I-T.
I know how to spell Benoit because of Chris Benoit, you know, wrestling. How do you spell Joaquin?
It's like what?
Q-U-I-N.
J-O-A-Q-U-I-N. All right, hold on 1 second. So I'm going to look up his 2013 fucking numbers.
I'm looking up the whole roster here. I'm looking at They did have Doug
Fisk. He had a 201 ERA. Oh, hold on. Let's look in the
they had almost a 40-year-old Octavio Dotel shot, right? They had Jeremy Bonderman, okay, in the pen. There we go. Pick that up. Jose Veras, who was just meh. Like, the truth really is, their bullpen was not near what their starting pitching was.
Yeah, I'm completely indifferent with that whole Benoit facing Poppy. That was the correct move to go to. Benoit had his number throughout the season. There was no reason, or throughout his career, actually, there's no reason for Benoit not to go in there. Poppy even said it, that he had his number. And I forgot what his pitches were.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Plus, like, also, like, that 13 Detroit team was stacked offensively, too. Even with that pitch, they had prime Miguel Cabrera on that team. I believe Victor Martinez – brain, please work. I'm begging you. I believe Victor Martinez is on that team. I need to look. Yes. The whole roster. Torrey Hunter's on that team.
Austin Jackson.
You just have Austin Jackson on that team.
Omar Infante.
He was pretty decent back then.
Johnny Peralta. That guy. He was exciting. And Prince Fielder, by the way, too.
Yeah, they had Prince Fielder, prime Prince Fielder.
Yep.
Oh, he was a stacked offensive team. They should have been able to pick up the slack.
You would think.
The thing is, like, yeah, like it's like I said, the 18 Red Sox were like just as stacked offensively and starting pitching wise, and like had the same bullpen woes, and they still, you know, they found a way to win. Like, it's insane the 13 Tigers didn't find a way.
By the way, Brad, you are correct. Joaquin Benoit was the guy to go to in that spot. That's just my recollection of how hard he fucking hit the baseball and the outcome more than anything else. But he really does have good career postseason numbers. It was just on that pitch at that spot, but Poppy was not going to be denied.
He had the misfortune of playing like probably the single best postseason hitter ever.
Yeah. I mean, good luck getting him out in that spot in Fenway. Not a good spot.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
That was so hyped watching that game. I feel like an old man reminiscing on my glory days when I think about the 2013 Red Sox.
Yeah, see, the problem was is that he threw him a fucking 86 mile per hour off-speed pitch. Yeah.
My favorite still is Tom Gordon in 2004, literally vomiting before coming to face David Ortiz.
But that's fine.
You know, I believe it was first pitch home run.
He threw him a grand slam. It was – the very first pitch of the game, it was the very first pitch. It was a changeup, and it was outside. It was 86 mile per hour changeup.
Both Nate Ortiz in the postseason, so he's just going to fucking.
So that was outside, and he still pulled it.
He pulled it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dude, Nate Ortiz in the playoffs is just a different animal. He's so nuts. Makes no sense.
It was unbelievable.
And the deeper he got, the better he got.
Earlier in the episode, he had like a fucking 600 fucking batting average. They were talking about it on the show last night, on the game last night. They were like, why would you pitch to him? Like he had like a 700 batting average. Why are we pitching to this guy? Like, why didn't you just, they decided to walk him and it was too fucking late.
I'm pretty sure it was 2003. I was there. It was Angels Red Sox. And they had Poppy up. It was like the ninth inning. And they tried to pull in Alex Cora and use Jared Washburn, the starter, to come in and face Poppy. One pitch, opposite field, game over, series over. Thank you very much. Fun drive home.
I love Poppy.
That's when it started. And it was like, damn, this fucking guy hits.
He'll always be my favorite Red Sox player. Always will be.
Remember when it looked like he really fucked up his Achilles, though? And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That was a bad day.
That was like later in the in his career, though.
Dude, his retirement tour year too. He had such a good year. He could have kept playing for another two or three years. Like he was just still so good.
His feet were fucking killing him, yep. And not for anything. Like I get a lot of slack for this, but the last like couple years that he was with the Red Sox, I was just like, dude, can you just please retire? Because I'm tired of hearing you complain about how you don't want to play first base when we play the National League.
Boo, you suck, Brad. Boo.
He didn't want to play when we needed his bat the most. He didn't want to hit. He didn't want to play. Dang. He didn't want to play first base. I'm all set.
Like, I mean, he still hit like 600 in the World Series. You know, I mean, I can forget
it. That was in 2013. When did he retire? He didn't retire for another three fucking years.
No, 2016. I was there. I was actually there at his last game. That's what they got swept. I can't remember who it was now off the top of my head. Maybe Indians, maybe that swept.
Yeah, them. It was the Indians. That's
yep. And he got a hit in the ninth. They were down and they pinch ran for him and no one wanted to see him leave because like that's going to be fucking it. Stayed on the top step when the game was over and he came out and fucking wept. Oh, that was.
Seeing him retire there. Tough. It really hurt. He was so fun to watch.
Holy shit, man! He had a career year of doubles in 2007. He had his career for triples was in 2004. How many triples do you think he hit for a career year?
Like six.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Oh, how many? Do you remember how many home runs was his career high?
50?
Like 54?
It was 54.
Dang.
His career fucking RBIs?
Oh, that's going to be high.
I have no idea.
I'm going to go stupid high, like 142.
You're very close. It was 148.
Dang.
Yeah, I'm on his Baseball Reference page. He led the league in doubles and RBIs his last year, and he had an OPS over 1,000 in his last year playing.
His slugging was .620.
Insane. He still had so much left to give.
Yeah.
How old was he when he retired?
40.
He's 40.
He was
doing what Nelson Cruz was doing, you know, just, you know, in 2016.
Automatic runner. You know what I mean? Like that, if there was just a guy waiting on the side.
He's at home with Nelson Cruz.
I think he's like 40.
He's 41, yeah.
But he's showing little signs of aging compared to years past. It looks like he's starting to slow down a little bit.
He is. And like the thing is, like in 2016, I believe David Ortiz placed top 10 in MVP voting that year too. Like it's insane.
2016?
Yeah.
He was sixth.
Yeah, see?
And he was a silver slugger.
It's like his retirement year, unlike Derek Jeter's when he was a bum who needed to retire. Like, he was actually, you know, still on top.
I mean, he was 28th in MVP the year prior. He was 10th in 2013, which that sounds like a fucking that sounds like bullshit.
It's just a victim of being a DH.
Jeter was just shot at the end. He really was.
He really was. Like, it was, he was washed. It was very obvious. All
right. So now that we talked about Poppy, and we've got JD Martinez, who's taken over the realms of the DH. Who do we see as our DH in the future? Do we think that, huh?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, do we think we see Devers or do we see Kyle Schwarber?
Who wants to go first?
I'll go Hogdo.
Okay. I think Schwarber. And thing is, if JD opts in, I think you like eat the 1 year of having him and Schwarber on the team, because I think Schwarber is just such a natural fit at DH for the future, like for this team. He's just everything that embodies what a Red Sox DH should be. He gets on base a ton. He hits dongs. What's up, Red? What'd you need?
Whose phone's ringing?
Not mine.
It's coming from your end, Brady.
Anyway. Like, yeah, I just love Schwarber. He's perfect at Fenway Park. He gets so many doubles. He shoots balls into the gap. He walks. He hits dongles. I love him. I love how
last night I was just like, this guy only hits fucking homers to center field. And he's like, nah, I also hit him to right field.
That was literally the first ball, a home run that he's as a Red Sox that was not to center field. Like, the radio, like, did the fact-checking on that.
I enjoyed that home run. Like, that one, the one to right field last night, I was watching with my son, and he was like, Dad, he crushed it. I was like...
Oh. So, it sounded like he crushed it. I think it actually didn't go nearly as far as it...
But it was majestic looking, so...
Yes, it was. It was 100% a majestic shot.
I agree with Hogdale, by the way. I think JD will opt in because I don't think they'll do universal DH because Major League Baseball is stupid. And I think Schwarber makes too much sense long term. Heim could even trade JD and eat a little money. I wouldn't be totally shocked if he did that too.
So I wanted to stop you for a second there. So his first home run went 434 feet to center field. And it didn't sound like he murdered it. The second one that he hit, where it sounded like he fucking murdered it, it was 105 miles off the bat, 106 miles off the bat, 35 degrees launch angle, only went 405 feet.
Huh.
So he basically, well, the sound of it was what made it fucking cool. That's really, it was louder than that, but it was like crack. And I was like, yep, that's gone. And then I loved his little fucking like, yep, check please.
Yeah, it's so very realistic that JD gets traded.
I think he has a no trade clause, so he'd have to.
I'm looking at his contract. I don't see one.
I'm pretty sure he has a no trade clause.
Maybe the site I'm looking at just doesn't say that.
It says here, has a limited no trade clause.
So it's like maybe like a 10 team list.
Right.
Something like that.
You know, I'm just saying I wouldn't be shocked if that's an avenue that they explored, because 1 year at JD at 20 million. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that'd be interested because it's a short term commitment. I could see something like that. I guess the question I would have going forward is, if we made the assumption that Devers could eventually switch over the first base and maybe Dahlbach if he goes over to third.
I highly doubt they passes.
Okay, yeah, I got the details of the no trade clause. He can block three teams that he can go to annually. He has to name them at the beginning of the year, three teams he cannot be traded to.
Oh, so he has to name them. He hasn't named them.
So they have 26 teams that they can move him to.
They're 27, right? Because he blocks three.
Well, you can't trade the Red Sox player.
Oh, duh.
I'm a fucking idiot. I was hoping you'd walk into that.
I'm a fucking idiot.
No. No. It's fun.
No, you are.
So that would be my only thought going forward, is if it's Devers to first.
We have a huge fucking problem. And it's kind of a good problem, honestly, if we want to think about it. Like, all right, so you both want to keep Kyle and eat the Kyle Schwarber contract with JD for 1 year, right? You want him as DH. All right, cool. I'm fine with that. So now we have eight other positions that we have to fill. Who are we going to have at third base? Are we signing Xander with the potential that he's going to end up moving to third base, or are we going to sign Xander with the potential of he's going to stay at shortstop, or is he going to second base?
This is tough because I know what you're building to, because the Red Sox system just has so many infielders that are of quality coming up.
Well, the problem is that we've got Dalbec, who is just absolutely fucking crushing right now. And then we've got a monster coming up through the ranks.
Dude, Cassis is going to be special. I just watch him and I know he's going to be special.
I mean, he's got problems against left-handed hitters, and I have a feeling he's going to figure it out. But we've got Cassis, Dalbec. Don't forget, is it Blaze Jordan?
Yep, Jordan.
So we got him as well. We got a slew of freaking first and third basemen, you know. So it's like, then we've got York, we've got Downs, we've got Arroyo, we have the possibility of re-signing Iglesias. So there's another problem. Do we re-sign him and eat up the Christian Arroyo contract or send him somewhere else?
Depends. How much is Arroyo making? It can't be like, much.
It's like under 600K.
I think that whether it's Devers or Xander, I mean, Jose Martinez is now out in left field. And I really – is it Jose? No, not Jose Martinez. Fuck. Who's that guy from the Indians? I just had a brain fart completely. Who's the big second baseman that used to be with the Indians? He's now playing left field. Not Lindor. They had the two guys. Lindor and what was the other star? Jose Ramirez. Excuse me, I said Martinez.
I think Jose Ramirez is playing first right now.
No, he was playing left field in the last series against the Red Sox. So I think whether it's like Chris Bryant moving to third.
I think that's a different Ramirez.
I think just like Chris Bryant went out to left, can play a little third and left field. I think Xander or Devers, I think that ultimately that's going to be where they're going to go. That's
See, what I think. Like at first base – they probably keep Bobby for another year, let Cassis develop for another year, and like Cassis comes up in 23. At that point, they probably trade Bobby, right? And he'll probably get good value too because of how much he's improved himself. And seemingly, you could either use him to get like a really good bullpen arm or maybe a good young starter. God, Heim's got so much work to do because like there's just such a surplus of just talent. Because the thing is, like, yeah, if you keep Xander, it brings so many new problems.
Man, here's the other issue is, like, all right, we traded Mookie. We knew, like, us, you know, people who actually knew what was going on know for a fact that it didn't matter who was coming in. It didn't matter if Dombrowski stayed. It didn't matter if Chaim Bloom came in. It didn't matter whoever was next. Mookie was being traded, right? Yeah. Do you think that this fan base would be able to accept Xander being traded?
That's the problem. See, that's the only problem with like potentially moving off Bogarts, which honestly, like if you're thinking just using your brain, no emotions at all, I think would be a smart move. Like if you're going to, you know, maybe try some other things. But like the thing is, like Xander's the captain of this team, and he's been here since 13. He's given so much to the team. And I think there'd be a riot in the streets if they got rid of him.
I agree. I think that logically, if you took emotion out, it makes sense. You got a shortstop and Meyer that's looking great. Jeter Downs, not to be down on Downs, but right? But, you know.
Such a bad thing to say.
I have to do what I have to do. But, like, Nick York, of course, is uber exciting, you know, at second base and kind of feels like, you know, he's coming sooner. Like he's on a speed train, you know, to get himself to the show. So, like, it feels like they got first, second, short, and a lot of third base options set to go. So I do think Bobby's going to be – look, they could use a catcher. You know, they could really use a catcher. A long-term solution at catcher, I think, is important. But outfield is not quite as clear of a picture. They have some interesting pieces, you know, Jimenez and, you know, but the infield feels really secure. And Xander being an infielder, if take a motion out, doesn't fit.
Because, like, yeah, he's going into his 30s. It's just like he has the type of game hitting-wise that could age well. Like, fair enough. Like, that's a tough part. But at the same time, like, he's already so rough defensively. And as you get older, it's not getting better.
All right. So let me ask you guys this question. And without, like, saying that Xander's the captain and whatnot. Xander or Devers?
Raffy in a heartbeat. Not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Raffy's the future of this team. He's the number one guy.
He's really... You feel like he hasn't even reached his highest potential yet. Like it's still coming
a little. Because he's like, still so young.
Right.
Like he's like a child, like in terms of baseball still.
He's still 24.
Like, there's prospects coming up who are like Devers' age who are in their first year. Like, right. And Raffy's like 24 right now. He's been in the league for like 3 or 4 years.
Like, I think Jaron Duran is actually older than he is.
I think you're correct. I think he's 25.
Right. And Devers is like, yeah, I've already got a ring. You know what I mean? Been an all-star.
Yeah, I've raked for years now. It's cool. That's what I do.
Yeah, he's actually like a month older than Raffy.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
I have a strong feeling that Bobby Dalbec's going to be moved, not this offseason, but next offseason. The dream scenario is that he rakes and Cassis rakes and Bobby gets shipped out and wished all the wishes in the world. For whatever the biggest need is at that time, probably pitching.
And it's a shame because like Bobby's like really rounded himself into a damn good player. And like he seems like such a quality dude to have in the locker room. And it's just like it's just so cluttered, like prospect wise.
He seems right now like he's the guy that's keeping his head down, trying to fucking figure it out, you know. Not like down, you know what I mean? Like he's not doing the Alex Verdugo, you know, getting all the attention and whatnot. And I feel like Bobby, I mean, this dude comes out to the doors. I mean, come on, man. Like all the old time fucking coaches and whatnot are like, hey, let's listen to some music. Bobby's probably sitting there playing fucking guitar in the clubhouse or something, you know? I could see Bobby, like, after baseball, he's probably smoking a fucking fat pound of grass or some shit like that. He's the type of person that I could probably go to High and Happy Catering and have a good time with.
Yeah, I know that him and Verdugo hang out a ton, so they're really good friends.
Dude, I saw a picture of Bobby and his girl, which I believe he's now off the market, and in care of Richards and his woman, who, Jesus Christ, man, is she hot. And then Hunter Renfrow and his wife. I was just like, holy hell, guys.
These guys are winning. They are winning life.
Totally. You know that. That's one thing that I wonder, and not to be a pessimist, but you do wonder, is it Hunter Renfrow's, is it his breakout season, or is it just his career year?
Like, I think which we have two more arbitration seasons to find out.
So really, could Bobby Dalbec become an outfielder? Of course he could. He used to be a pitcher, so I mean, that would be crazy fun to see so him weird. Just like...
I don't know if... Now, do you think that Aaron Judge is an outfielder? Like that body type, like, do you really think that that's sustainable in outfield? Because that's the same type. That's the same body type.
Joey Gallo, you know.
Fuck Joey Gallo. I didn't say anything about that piece of shit. I said Aaron Judge.
But they're the same. It's the same build.
No, I do think that
your dog hates you.
No, my son ran, and my dogs are herding dogs, so they're literally trying to drag him down to the ground and bring him with the rest of the pack. That's just what they do.
That's funny.
In my honest opinion, I don't think that a Giancarlo Stanton, I don't think that an Aaron Judge are sustainable for an outfield. And with that being said, Bobby Dalbec has that body type, and I wouldn't want to see him. I mean, he is young, I guess, and you could put him out there. Put him and hide him in left field if he needed to.
Dude, like, I don't wow, my brain is failing me today on all
brains. Levels. Fucking work, Hogdale.
Fucking work. I got 8 hours of sleep, dude. Why are you sputtering?
Like, I got like four or five, so I'm fine.
I don't understand with the with the Yankees, like they don't play Giancarlo in the outfield more, and they're like, oh, but he'll get hurt. But he gets hurt anyway as a DH, and he's actually pretty good in the outfield there. Like, he's not bad. So they should be playing him out there more.
You know, I think Bobby could be the guy where if they really didn't want to move him, if you put him somewhere at a position like a left field, you keep him up until the year before free agency, you know, then you move him. And if it doesn't age well, that's not going to be your problem.
You're right. Like a power hitting, like left fielder, a corner outfielder for Bobby, I wouldn't hate that.
I wouldn't either. And we kind of need outfield help as well, because I mean, like, how long are we going? I mean, like, are we going to keep Hunter Renfro? Who knows what happens with Kike Hernandez at the end of next year? I mean, he's only signed for the end of next year. He's having a fucking fantastic year.
Kike set himself up to get paid and paid big time.
Exactly. But I also don't know if he's trying, if he's one of those people that are going to want to get paid or if he wants to play for, you know, because he really came to Boston. Would he get 14 million? I believe it was 14 million. That's not a lot of money. And he came here because he wanted to be with Alex Cora.
The interesting thing on Dahlbeck, he's not a free agent until he's 32. So,
you
really have him in his prime. And if you want to move him when he's 31 years old and be like, you're going to be a free agent, we've got
him. We have him for six more years.
See, that's the thing is you can go five full seasons. Because either like it's one, you have his prime seasons where he's just a damn good hitter, or you know he's not a free agent until he's 32. That's such a good trade chip. Like,
oh yeah, he's not even arbitration eligible for. He has to be two more seasons. Arbitration one is three seasons from now.
Yeah, he's probably not leaving anytime soon.
You would have to get like such a return.
I honestly think that in all honesty, I think they would end up probably trading for Dugo before they traded Dahlbeck.
Honestly, because now like going into the details, because especially if Bobby maintains like the form that he's been in,
and I like an 800
OPS hitter. Are you kidding?
I like both of them, and they're both really good hitters. And Dahlbeck's Verdugo's more of an average hitter. He hits for average. And Dahlbeck's more of a power hitter, and he just had a really bad fucking start to the year. And I think when he comes back next year after the offseason, he's going to fucking rake. I think one of his biggest problems was his buddy, Michael Chavis.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like, I feel so bad for Chavis.
I know.
Swing at the high shit.
Yeah, literally. Fuck it. If it's in your fucking eye, you just swing. Just go for the fucking
If you fences. Connect, bro, it's going to go so far.
Let me tell you, bro.
Look for Dugo's stats this year. He's about what I expected hitting wise. He's a 108 OPS plus. He's 2.5 wins above replacement. That's about what I expected from him this year. He's like an above average outfielder. Not special, but you know,
he's not a fucking center fielder though. I can tell you that.
No, he should be a corner outfielder at all times. He looks far better when he's in corner outfield. He should not be playing center. He just doesn't have the range.
He shouldn't play center field, especially if there's sun out there.
It's so nice having Kike. He's such a good defensive center fielder. And I was not expecting Kike to be that good at center like when we signed him.
I don't think anybody expected Kike to be nearly as good as he was. Because he was supposed to platoon for second base.
Well, he's supposed to be, you know, a super utility. And he's been better than a super utility.
Yeah, how'd that work out? My solution, basically, Brad, for every situation is that some motherfucker is going to left field who's not currently playing in left field because the infield future is stacked. That's it.
It's true, though. So, like, all right, who in our first baseman shambles or whatever, who do you see going to left field? Is it going to be Casas? Is it going to be Dahlbeck? Is it? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's Bobby. It's not even a discussion.
Dude, and he's me throwing fucking bullets at field. Like, I'm so like that. He could be the future Hunter Renfro with his arm. That doesn't mean he'd be as good of a defender. But Hunter does make some weird fucking plays too, though. Like,
I love the fact that he has a fucking gun and he likes showing it off. But what I hate is the fact that, like, all right, there's a runner or the batter hits it to right field, all right? You got the runner from first base going to third base. He throws it no matter what. to third base instead of throwing it to fucking second base and trying to cut that fucking runner from going to second base. So now instead of having a runner at third base, first and third, now you have a runner at second and third. Like, sometimes use your fucking head instead of using your arm.
No, bro, I gotta show the arm off, bro. Flex, gotta fucking flex on him.
That's the stuff that I worry about in the postseason, right? Because now we gotta play smart baseball, not highlight reel baseball. And honestly, Cora, you know, preached defense from day one, and that's been shaky. You know what I mean? Like, Iglesias has really seemed like he's settled the infield the fuck down. At this point, if it's me, I don't know how you don't want to bring Iglesias back next year. Like, and that's no knock on Arroyo at all. But you know,
Arroyo just can't stay healthy.
He
just
can't stay healthy. Like, it's it sucks.
Kike's a center fielder now for the Red Sox for next year. Don't even talk about second base. Just don't even talk about it. Just let him play center.
Like, he belongs out there.
And Schwarber can be a little first, a little DH, a little left field.
Dude, this team is so set going forward. Like, it's got such a bright future.
Positionally.
But, I mean, even still, like, Brady. Some of, like, your other prospects, you could flip them for pitching.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's the one thing that I really want to see, though. What do you think in terms of catcher, though? Do you think that's a free agent signing in the future? Do you think it's something that they trade for? Or do you think that's something that they have? Because catchers sometimes take a while, but I really don't think that that's the thing that they have.
I think they probably sign a guy and then platoon him with Wong, because I really like Connor Wong. I think he's at least defensively, don't know about his bat, obviously. I think defensively, the few games he did play, he called some really good baseball games. He called some really good games.
Do you think that they'll let Wong play multiple positions? Because I know that, like, that's what I read. Like, he can play a little second. He can play third. Like, he's one of the few guys. That's
a super utility right there. Have a catcher who can platoon.
A real super utility kind of guy.
Yeah, that's like what the Rangers have with Kiner Falefa.
Wait, that guy
plays everywhere.
That guy made a play the other night that was just
he's had a hell of a year, actually, for the Rangers. Like, he's been a player for him.
He doesn't catch, though, right?
He caught a little bit.
What? That's that.
1 second.
You can't waste that guy. The play he made against the Yankees that night was so deep in the fucking hole. Like, that's the kind of player that you want.
Oh, man. He plays shortstop.
Yeah, no, he's fucking fine. We were just talking about the future of catcher. Like, where do we think that's going to go?
And catcher? Fucking get rid of Vasquez because he's been calling a shit game.
Yeah, we didn't even discuss that because it's been assumed that Vasquez is nowhere near this baseball team after this season. I said that we'd probably sign a guy and then pair him and platoon him with Wong because I think Wong is a really
I don't know because when is
– No, we're not talking about Wong necessarily next season per se.
No. Like, I'm just saying, like, when is Vasquez's contract up?
He's got 1 year, but the Red Sox can choose to pick up the option or let him leave as free agent. I don't see them. I think it's $8 million. I don't see him picking it up.
I think the buyout's like $2 million, but even still, you're saving $6 million.
The buyout is actually it's a club option, which includes a $250,000 buyout, and it escalates to $8 million with 502 plate appearances across 2020 and 2021, which. You got to imagine that's not going to be a fucking.
You buy him out and get a cheaper option to pair with Wong. You just do that.
Well, really, they could do a Plawecki Wong and see how the fuck it goes. And then.
No, neither one of those guys are going to be fucking worth. He's already got over 500 fucking plate appearances.
So, Brad, did you say that's an automatic kicks in? If he had 500 appearances?
It's 502 plate appearances between 2020 and 2021. And he had 189 last year. And the short season, he's already at 476, which I'm assuming that's the reason why he's been playing so much behind the plate is because of that.
So is that an automatic, though? So he's signed for next year if he has those plate appearances?
It just says that it escalates. It doesn't mean they still have the buyout. It's a club option.
Because I don't see them picking.
Maybe the buyout's more expensive then, like if it escalates.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
I would definitely look for a short-term, stopgap solution.
I don't know. Do you go with buying them out for $8 million and then fuck it? Because I'm only assuming that's what that means is like they have to buy them out for $8 million. I mean, it says 250,000, which that seems kind of low because, like, any team's going to fucking be like, all right, here's 250,000, no, whatever. But I don't see Wong or Plawecki being a fucking everyday catcher. You can't have Plawecki continuously being a catcher for your team. He's a backup guy. He's not an everyday guy. Isaac says it on a constant basis. He's got a fucking noodle arm. People are going to throw on him.
What do you got against Wong, brother?
Huh?
What do you got against Connor Wong? He looked good in his little stint.
He did look good, but he's not an everyday catcher yet.
That's why I said you get a guy in free agency and platoon with him.
Brad, I could be wrong, but I think what it means is his option for 22 is $7 million. That escalates to $8 million if he had enough plate appearances. Having said that,
yes, you're right.
It's still a $250,000 buyout.
Yep, you're right.
Right. So at $250,000, there's zero fucking chance that I want to pay Christian Vasquez $8 million. There's no way. Maybe I bring him back on 1 year, $4 million, you know, if he wanted to.
He ain't going to come back on $4 million.
Then let him go.
Then bye.
Yo, let Heim find, you know, a short-term stopgap. I mean, there's a couple of free agent, you know, catchers that are defensive-minded catchers that would make a lot of sense. You know, they have to – I don't want to spend $8 million on the catcher. I want Kyle Schwarber to stay with his team. I would totally consider moving JD and even eating half the money if you got back something like ooh-la-la in return.
We really don't have that many options for catchers.
There's two. I got to look back. There's two catchers. And keep in mind, a lot of defensive
catchers. Hold on. Here are the catchers that are available at the end of 2021. Yadier Molina, not. Roberto Perez, he's got a club option. Buster Posey, he ain't going to fucking leave the Giants. And then Vasquez.
No, hold on.
Yeah, let me look. Yan Gomes is a free agent in 2022. I wouldn't mind picking up Yan Gomes.
Yeah, that's next year.
Next year is
2022 free agency would be the free agency before the 2022 season, wouldn't it? Yep.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking right here under MLB.com and their free agents class. And that's
Mike,
because after this year, Max Scherzer is free agent, yes, and it has Max Scherzer listed as a free agent for this one.
Some other players that are totally free. Let's see. It looks like Zunino could be a free agent. I think there's an option, but with Tampa, you never know if they can afford that. Steven Voigt, Kurt Suzuki, Sandy, old favorite Sandy Leon.
I couldn't do Sandy Leon.
But Tucker Barnhart, I think from the Reds, is a guy that's out there. And keep in mind, a lot of guys get DFA'd as well, especially with catchers, you know, that could be available. Not to mention the fact that, you know, Heim can do a little trade investigating, you know, work himself. But Zunino, his contract, I'm clicking right now, he's, let's see, there's a $4 million option for next year. That feels like a guy that could be a trade candidate. From
Tampa. Do we really want to trade with the fucking Rays, though?
I would trust
for our guys.
I don't want to trade with the Rays.
Worked out pretty well. Nathan Eovaldi trade worked out pretty damn good.
That's a little different. Now it's like we all realize that no matter what the Rays do, they turn it into gold.
Yeah, but they let Renfro go, and then he became gold in the Red Sox.
Yeah, but that's understandable. Like, he didn't have a good year last year, so...
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, we have a guy who has the Rays magic bullshit powers because he was the Rays operation out there.
Like, Zunino in Fenway would be kind of exciting.
I wouldn't mind Zunino, honestly.
I wouldn't mind either.
Yeah.
You know who I'd really like to have off that team?
Who?
Wander Franco.
See, I didn't know this shit. He's such a stud.
Because he just fucks us up. It's like, all right, if we could get Wander Franco, I would fucking just be like, all right, I'll trade Xander.
You know who the free agent I'm most excited for in the future is that we're going to grab? When Juan Soto is a Red Sox, I'm going to be so happy.
Dude, what is that, 2025?
Yep, I can't wait. I got a calendar.
Could you seriously imagine him and Devers on the same fucking team?
Fucking, I'd nut. I really would. I love Juan Soto so much, dude. He's so good.
Just so you know, here goes my offseason charge. Zunino has to play with the Red Sox because now I'm obsessed with that notion.
Jesus Christ. And now we're going to go with all right, so here's my question for you, Brady. Who do you go for a closer?
Oh, God.
Honestly, I'm going to give the obvious answer, but then my real answer. Raisel Iglesias is the easy free agent option. I don't think Heim does the easy free agent option. I think Heim does his own investigative work because that's what he's really fucking good at. And he gets someone that I would be like, oh, that's the guy. He's going to get the guy that's going to be it. Matt Barnes is my eighth inning guy. And I totally have faith that Matt Barnes will do a solid job as an eighth inning guy.
Wow, you are saying something extremely nice about Matt Barnes.
Yep, he'll do a really good job. Yep, not at all. You know, I don't like him as a closer, but eighth inning guy. And Ottavino had a great year. If he wants to come back on a little bit of a discount, cool. I doubt that's going to happen. I think Barnes replaces Ottavino. But I think let Heim do his fucking magic for the bullpen.
I'm going to say something that I don't think either one of you guys are going to like me saying.
Oh, God.
Who do you think I'm going to say as our closer?
Garrett Whitlock.
Almost.
Hauk?
Nope. You had the first name right.
Richards? Let's go. It's time.
Let's just fucking go, dude.
No, you wouldn't even need an eighth inning guy. You just do it for two innings every night. Do the eighth and the ninth.
I am just so incredibly happy with how everything has changed for him.
Richards has been ridiculous out of the pen. It actually makes sense.
Remember when they put Martin Perez in the pen and he was just like, okay, I get it. You know, I'm going to do it. And then fucking Richards is like, they're like putting Richards in the pen. And he's like, I could throw 99 fucking pitches and they're going to throw me in the pen. And look, out of the two of them, the one with the bad attitude going into the pen is the fucking one that's like, he's like changing his entire fucking his career. He's never going to get another job with another team as a fucking starter.
No.
All right. I'm going to agree with you, which it hurts, provided there's one little caveat to it.
What's that?
He has to stop shaving right now.
Stop shaving?
Yep. Oh, I need the whole thing to fucking grow out.
No.
Not cut the back. I want him just to be like almost like Charlie Blackman, but the blonde Blackman is what I want. I want to see just
you want him with a fucking Fu Manchu beard.
I want to see him coming out in the ninth with all kinds of crazy shit,
looking like Brian Wilson.
Yeah. Yep.
All I'm saying is that I really hope that the Red Sox invest in a good jacket for Garrett Richards going into October.
Because Jesus Christ.
He notoriously doesn't pitch very well when it's cold out.
You know what? I think he might fucking have learned his lesson this year.
Maybe get him like a heated woolly blanket that he can use in the bullpen.
You know, having said that though, really, if the Sox go deep in the postseason and Robles looks fucking legit, I could totally be swayed.
The thing about Robles is he's looked good. But it's because Cora figured out he can't pitch in back-to-back nights. If he pitches,
that's bullshit. He's pitched in back-to-back nights recently.
Yep.
He's looked fucking fantastic too.
Preach, Brad. Preach.
Do preach, King. Preach. Yeah. I'd be down. Okay, if he looks great in the playoffs, go ahead. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I could be motivated. You know, although he's a free agent at the end of the year, but I wouldn't want to give him some big ass deal though.
No.
Nah.
What about Whitlock?
He's not even going to be talking about money for a couple years.
No, I say that as a closer.
I think he just means in general his role on the team.
He's going to be a starter.
Yeah, it's so clear they want him to be a starter.
He's going to be what they wanted Hauk to be.
See, I think the opposite. I think Hauk's going to be the starter. Everyone thinks that he won't be, but he's going to be. And Whitlock is just. I just don't know if he can go.
Whitlock already has the pitches. All he has to do is be stretched out. The only reason why they didn't have him start this year was because he was he was a Rule 5. And if he got hurt or if they couldn't use him or whatever, he would end up going back to the New York Yankees.
No, not yes. if you're hurt. No, not if you're
not
hurt.
Not if you're hurt, but if it didn't work out and they fucking didn't keep him right. on the roster.
Correct, but the truth really
so
is.
So he's already got his 3 to 4 pitches.
Dude,
where Houck only has Houck. 2.
Everyone's going to cry when Houck comes back after the offseason. He's got like a filthy splitter. And then also he just like randomly developed a 2-seamer. It's going
to
be great. Yep.
He needs to work with Chris Sale is what I think.
I think Houck's going to be a starter. And I think Houck is going to stay in the pen.
I think Houck's going to stay in the pen. I wouldn't be opposed to both of them being starters, honestly.
Dude, Houck is like an Andrew Miller type in the bullpen.
Let fucking so E-Rod walk.
Now, if you told me.
I wouldn't mind letting E-Rod walk, honestly.
If you told me Houck became the closer. One of them, I'd be cool with either one of them because electric stuff.
Nah, I'm all set with Richards.
He's got 3 career saves, and you're like,
don't fucking care. Up. Yep, exactly. Sign him up. How many saves does Houck have?
1?
Maybe.
I think 1.
All right, better question. How many blown saves does Houck have?
I don't even think he's had fucking an option to have anything blown.
By the way, since you brought up Eduardo Rodriguez, did the advanced stats even say that he's good anymore? He's been so, like, bad. I know the nerds have been trying to defend him, but it's getting pretty rough, dude.
Here's the problem with E-Rod, man. Every time
Houck has only had 1 save.
There you go.
That was right.
Blown saves?
I don't even know where the fucking to find the blown saves.
MLB.com will tell you that one. You do that one. We could bring back Ugas Urbina. Okay. No? Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Ugi Urbina?
Yeah. Ugi Urbina? I just feel like that's.
Ugas Urbina was like fucking steroided.
What year was that?
Oh, I'm going to guess. 05, but I'm gonna Google.
Yeah, that's
right
why
now.
I don't fucking remember Urbina.
He was fucking nasty for a little while. He was with the Sox on 2002.
Yeah, that's why I don't remember him. So Tanner Houck has had 1 save opportunity.
He's 1,000. He's perfect.
All right. So how many times is it? Okay, let's look up Garrett Richards.
Don't look at Matt Barnes's. Don't do it.
Oh, what a fucking dick.
Don't do it. His 79% is not what you want. It's not. I agree, though, Hogdale. I think Houck is going to develop at least a 3rd pitch, if not potentially a 4th pitch, just to shut everybody the fuck up. And then all of a sudden, he's going to be like, I'm actually really.
So, how many saves do you think that Garrett Richards has had this season?
3.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.
How many opportunities do you think he's had?
3.
3.
Exactly. So he's actually better than Houck because he's had 1,000 opportunities.
Well, that you can't hold it against.
No, you can't. You can definitely hold it against him.
Oh, yeah, better in the pen. He wasn't better as a starter.
Yeah, at least Richards could go 5 innings, though.
Oh, wow, 5 innings of 6-run ball as compared to 4 innings of like
1-2-run
ball.
Dude, Martin Perez could go 6 innings. Of 9
yeah,
runs.
Theoretically, ball. Martin Perez could go 6 innings if you don't mind giving up 10 runs.
Garrett Richards' problem was going the 1st inning. That's all it was. It was.
Which makes no sense as to why he went to the pen. Right. It was amazing. It makes like, no sense.
You know what? Like, you suck in the 1st inning. So, what we're going to do is we're going to have you warm up for the entire game. And then we're going to throw you up. So you'll already have like 70-something pitches thrown. And then when you come in, you're already up to like where you would be in the 3rd inning.
It's insane that Garrett Richards like goes to the pen. He becomes like super Jesus. And then like Martin Perez is just like, oh, I'm bad as a starter. Now I'm just going to go to the bullpen. And the only difference is that I'm a bullpen guy now. I'm still bad.
I'd love to be there where his agent's like, here's the deal. I know the first 18 to 25 pitches is where you struggle. So the team's plan is to have you only throw 18 to 25 pitches.
Logically, it just doesn't add up. Like
he's like, and I'm not in favor of this move, right? I'm pissed off, but it's going to work great.
What move is that?
Putting him in the bullpen.
Who?
Garrett fucking Richards.
Oh, okay.
So, Wow. It is getting to the point, though. It really is getting to the point where Garrett Richards, like, I hate to say it, but you at least have to consider at $10 million. A week ago, I was like, no way. Now I'm at least like, maybe.
I would throw $10 million. I would be like, yep, we're keeping you in the pen.
Then Vasquez has got to be gone for that $8 million. That's kind of like...
You're probably... I don't know how they're going to end up doing it. Maybe they let Richards walk, and then they're like, do the exact same thing that they did to Martin Perez last year.
No, he's going to get a bag as a reliever. Some dumb team will throw the money at him.
Someone's going to do something.
Remember, who's that guy? He's in with San Diego now, the lefty.
Pomeranz.
Yeah, Pomeranz. Yep.
Yeah.
In 2018, I was the only person outside of Drew Pomeranz that had a Drew Pomeranz jersey on.
Yeah, even his mom was like, fuck you, Drew.
I have a Drew Pomeranz jersey because of how he was in 2017.
Dude, people fucking hated Drew Pomeranz.
I loved Drew Pomeranz in 2017. Loved him. I thought it was absolutely fucking hilarious in that 18 any World Series that it was between letting fucking Nathan Eovaldi go out for like the sixth inning or having Drew Pomeranz go in, and they went with Nathan Eovaldi. And like, Drew Pomeranz is sitting in the fucking bullpen warming up, and there goes the fucking game. They're like, oh, well, Drew Pomeranz warmed up for fucking nothing.
Nathan Eovaldi's like, my arm hurts. I've had two Tommy John. You're like, keep going.
My favorite part of that World Series was the fucking next day. Eovaldi went up to Cora and he was like, I'm all set to go. Oh. and Cora's like, dude, your agent is going to fucking kill me.
Dude, Eovaldi's such a gamer. Like, that contract, it looked so terrible when he signed it, but he's been so good.
you know, can I, as soon as after they lost that 18 inning extra inning game, the next morning they were supposed to have, you know, breakfast in the rooms ordered up. And then one player said, I'm going to go eat in like the common room or whatever. And all the players, all their wives, all the kids had a huge fucking impromptu team breakfast. And we're like, fuck it. Yesterday's done. Let's go kick some fucking ass today. And I'm like,
yeah,
let's fuck. And it was Nathan Eovaldi when he walked in, and they were like, motherfucker. And that's when he told Cora, I'm good. I got a couple in me. It's like, with what arm? You're going lefty?
I'll throw lefty.
It's going to be like that one like old kids book talk about Sandy Koufax, where it's like he had his entire arm encased in an ice cube after games because it hurts so bad.
I was watching something on Nesson the other day. It was Louis Tiant. He threw 156 pitches in the World Series. And I'm just like, holy fuck, could you imagine if anybody nowadays threw 150-something pitches and fucking during – fuck you, Brady – in any game?
I always want to see Tim Wakefield go like 200 in a game.
That's a different story because you're only throwing like – you're literally lobbing the fucking thing. You know, that's why really, he was able to fucking pitch into his 40s.
But it's really – my dad met Tim Wakefield in a bar. Apparently a really nice guy.
You know what, though? What makes me feel like shit is Tim Wakefield's throwing, like, what, 64, 66 miles an hour? And if I'm throwing that, I'm like, oh, throwing it. And Tim Wakefield looked like he was just, like, fucking around, like, eh.
See, if I was Tim Wakefield, I would do, like the grunting and snarling that Max Scherzer does while throwing those balls.
I am sure they don't have a knuckleball pitcher. Like, I think that's kind of the Red Sox way. For, like, the past 20 years, generally speaking – they've almost always had a knuckleball pitcher, whether it's Stephen Wright or it's Tim Wakefield. They have to get a knuckleball pitcher.
I'm kind of happy they got rid of Stephen Wright.
Well, thing is, like, you without got... the with the three batter minimum now, it just kind of like eliminates the niche of having a knuckleball pitcher.
I gotta have one back. I got it high, not on right, but get somebody else. There's got to be somebody.
I want a lefty knuckleball pitcher.
Okay. Okay, really, how about a submarine lefty knuckleball pitcher?
Yes. How do you throw a knuckleball as a submarine? I fucking hate submarine pitchers, dude. I used to think they were the coolest fucking thing back in the 90s. Now watching baseball games where you're fucking like dragging your fucking knuckles through the fucking dirt.
Nah, it was like Tyler Rogers, that submarine picture. He was like he didn't have a job in baseball, and like he learned how to pitch submarine just to fill that niche, and he got a fucking job at Major League Baseball.
I would make my whole fucking bullpen submariners, just all of them coming one lower than the fucking next, and they're like, damn.
Because it's just like such a unique look. Like you just have no idea what the fuck you're even looking at.
Yep.
It's yep. Like, this is not cricket. Why are we throwing close to underhand?
Scrape those knuckles, boys. Fucking scrape them.
What are we, fucking cavemen?
Hey, yes. Did you hear they tried, I don't remember what league, moving the mound back a foot?
Was it the Cape League?
So they did the study to find out how did it change offense or whatever. It didn't. Fuck. So they're
even yeah, but it changed. It changes the defense. It changes pitching because you got to put more oomph into it.
But now they're considering moving it back another foot. I'm like, come the fuck on. Come on.
The thing is, after the sticky stuff, the offense went up by a decent amount. Like, we weren't seeing no hitters every other week.
So that should be enough. No, yeah, the spider tack stuff, or making that seem like it helped, you know, kind of doing that. I wonder what they're going to do in the postseason. Are they still going to really try to enforce that in the postseason?
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Absolutely.
But from what I heard is that baseball is developing their own sticky substance to put on the ball, like how Japan does it.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So they'll have, like, a natural grip that you can actually grip.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
Like, why honestly. The fuck did it take that long for them to realize –
It's Rob fucking Manfred. Why
because
else?
Because we're Major League Baseball, and we do things better than every other league, and we don't need to change.
I mean, it is the best sport, but still, I mean, Rob Manfred's got to go.
He does, dude. I can't wait till Theo's the commissioner. It's going to be great.
I couldn't agree more.
I couldn't either. All right, guys.
So is it Myers at short, York's at second, Cass is at first. Devers, we're going to hope and pray, stays at third. We have no catcher, and we're clearly putting somebody left over.
Dalbec's going to left.
Yep.
Center field, Jimenez, we're really just kind of like, because that would be fun. Speed, little pop.
Dude, the amount of speed that fucking kid has.
Are we giving up on Duran?
I don't know. His fielding needs to get a lot better if we're going to go MAGA Duran.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to give Duran like another year to see if he's actually bad or not, because I just don't know.
And what if he's just a fourth outfielder? It's not like that's like horrific. You know what I mean? And Iglesias needs to be signed for next year. Can we agree on that?
I can agree with that.
It'll be a bummer to see Arroyo go, but he just can't stay healthy.
But like
they can always
he's gonna get hurt.
Yeah, you can keep him down in that AAA as backup. He's
forever rehab.
Yeah, exactly. He's gonna forever rehab.
When he comes up, they're like, dope. How long are you going to be here? He's like, a week or two.
Until I fucking tear my groin again for the 300th time.
He is fun, though. He is fun, but I'm still on that one that you've got 9 games to go. He's got to get repetitive at bats, or else he's not going to be locked in for the postseason at all.
Well, you're not going to end up putting Kike at second, though. So there's that.
Then Arroyo's got to play.
No, Travis Shaw can play.
So would you stop with the Travis Shaw? He hasn't played second base since like 2016. And you're like, fuck it. I got Schwarber at catcher, and I got
I'll put fucking Schwarber at second. Who cares? How hard can it be? Arroyo does it.
Arroyo's a very good defender, man.
Yeah, until he gets hurt.
And Schwarber looks like Kevin Youkilis from the left.
Dude, I love like how money, like in Moneyball, they made it seem like transitioning and playing first base is like the most difficult thing in the history of human existence. Meanwhile, literally any major league team is like, you can't play defense? Fuck it. Fucking throw him at first base.
Bro, fucking Christian Arroyo has only played 54 games this year.
Damn.
God, that's sad.
And what about everyone could do the transition except for Hanley Ramirez? Oh, no. He couldn't go to left, right? Hanley couldn't go to left. He could do it at first. And then all of a sudden, he just inexplicably, they just released him. They were like, shh. No one asked questions why.
Yeah, and then like, he went to Cleveland.
Yeah. And that was it for that one. That was his swan song. Left very, very quietly. And it was over. So, E-Rod, see ya.
Oh, wow. Travis Shaw only played 2 seasons, 41 games at second base.
Yeah. and you want to put them there in the fucking postseason. You're like, you know what, guys? I got an idea.
Sure, why not?
No, Travis. He didn't say. He said like the Joker in that awful Suicide Squad movie. He's like, I have an idea.
Yeah, everyone's like, let me guess, Brad. Put Travis Shaw at second base. He's like, no. Well, what was your idea? He's like, put Travis Shaw at second
base. This is what doing crack once does to you kids.
Yep. I've never touched it. All right, guys, we got anything else we want to add to this?
Shave your balls.
Oh, do we want to do an ad read? Do you want to do an ad read? Do we need to do an ad read? Do you?
We always need to do a goddamn ad read. For guys, the best ball shaver in the business.
Well, hopefully this ad read goes a lot better than last night's ad read, man. Holy hell.
It will.
Dude, I got my ball wipes in.
Let's go.
I got my ball wipes, my ball deodorant, my body wash. I got the whole kabang, dude. I got my lawnmower 4.0. I could shave my balls. I was talking about this last night. I was fucking – I used to be one of those guys that shaved my balls with like a Mach 3, the Gillette Mach 3 things, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, I used to get nips like all the time, and I'd fucking bleed, and it sucked. And then I started using trimmers and whatnot. But what I used to use before that was I used to use straight razors, which is a horrible fucking idea.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, terrible, right? So I ended up getting this fucking I found out about the Manscaped lawnmower, and I ended up getting one. And let me tell you, dude, it's got one of those LED lights on it. So, like, if you have no light, you can just shave your balls in the dark.
Let's go.
It's not yeah, technology.
The technology that comes, it's wireless. It's got a wireless charger with it. I think it's like $70. But I mean, like, they got more than just the lawnmower 4.0 on there. I'm telling you, they've got ball wipes. I haven't used them yet because I just got them today. So, but they got ball wipes with helps with the bacteria like down near your balls and shit, anti-chafing lotion, some body wash. I haven't smelled any of this stuff yet.
They even sell underwear, and they sent me a pair, and it's a great pair of underwear.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Actually, you got the lawnmower too, didn't you?
I sure did, and I can confirm, fantastic. Best ball shaver I've ever had.
Exactly. Like, I've had ball shavers where, like, it, when you're going to shave your balls and shit, you just, like, pull that fucking, you pull those things up, and you're just like, and it's like, ooh, that kind of hurt.
Do that again? What happened?
Ooh!
But we got a bleeder!
With my lawnmower 4.0, dude, I have no problems. There's a little blade protector on there that helps from keeping you getting nipped or anything. So I like keeping my area nice and smooth for my lady. And you can actually get one too. So, I mean.
Such a gentleman.
What?
You're just such a gentleman. I'm sorry.
Why am I a gentleman?
For the lady.
The lady.
I'm not shaving. I mean, I am shaving my balls for myself because it's nice to keep yourself groomed. It's kind of like, I don't know, shaving your face too. I mean, like, I like having facial hair.
It lets your nuts breathe a bit.
Right.
Hoggy loves having facial hair.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hair is such shit. It's so terrible. I need to shave. It's a bad deal.
Yeah, you definitely look like you should shave.
Okay, well, fuck you too, Brad. All right. Not everyone can grow a full, nice beard. All right.
I don't have a full beard.
I grow a full beard with my balls, but with the lawnmower 4.0, I can remedy that tragic state of affairs.
You don't need to do that. Okay. So so you know, our friends over at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, want you to shave your pubes with the Mike Trout of ball trimmers.
That's it.
The brand new lawnmower 4.0. Only the GOAT technology for the greatest balls of all time. Well, I know my balls are the greatest balls of all time, so.
Disagree.
We can agree to disagree. When you're looking to hit a home run, make sure you use the right tool for the job and choose Manscaped. 2 million men worldwide trust them. Obviously, Hogdale does, and myself. Brady, did you get yourself a lawnmower 4.0 yet?
literally ordering it tonight for myself.
Okay.
And I'm using, there's a promo code in here coming, and I can't wait.
Right. There is. 2 million men worldwide trust us to join the movement with our exclusive offer by using Pesky Report at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. That's amazing. Like,
you That's get, a deal.
That is one hell of a deal. I purchased the ball wipes. I forgot what else came with it. It was ball wipes. Ball deodorant. There was ball toner. That's what it was. Ball toner.
Nice.
I'm not sure what ball toner is, but I bought it.
I think I need some ball toner. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm pretty sure I need it.
Well, you can definitely get it off there, off the website, and you can get 20% off for using it for using our promo code Pesky Report. But yeah, go get yourself a Manscaped. It's pretty awesome. Probably the best device I've ever used on my pubes, especially on my balls. No bleeding.
You don't just trust your balls to anyone.
No. When it comes to shaving, no.
You need the best.
I do need the best. Yep. And that's why I've got more stuff coming too. So I ended up getting a t-shirt. I ended up getting a pair of underwear. The underwear, fucking, like, Jesus, man. They're really comfortable. So they're not like actual boxers. They're like shorts, kind of. You know, they don't have that front little fucking flap in the front where you can. And
I'm going to check it out, man.
Yeah, you have to. So with that being said, everyone, that's the end of the Pesky Report. And thank you for tuning in. Hogdale, thank you. Tell your sweetheart of a dog, Sapphire, I said thank you. Brady, thank you. And go fuck yourself, Brady.
Thank you for listening to the Pesky Report. Make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pesky Report. No matter what platform you're listening to us on, please make sure to leave us a review and a comment and let us know how we're doing. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.